Good afternoon, and welcome to the February 14th edition of Lambda Weekly. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hope everybody had has a Valentine anyway.
I brought mine with me.
Okay, wonderful.
Mine's at home, listening.
Yours at home. Mine's at home also. I'm Laurent Landis here with Patty Fink and Alex the Intern. How do you like that?
I like it.
Okay, Alex the Intern. And David is off this week. He'll be back next week. It is Pledge Drive. In addition to Valentine's Day, give us a call at 972-647-1893. Show your love for KNON and Lambda Weekly.
And we actually have some special Valentine's Day premiums today. We have special flower arrangements here. If you come and bring in a pledge to us at 5353 Maple Avenue in Dallas, we have looks like we have four left, and we also will send you a t-shirt with a $25 pledge, and you can get a lovely bouquet for your loved one. So come on down, bring a $25 pledge with you to 5353 Maple.
Thank you, Alex. Again, and you can give us a call at 972-647-1893. You know, you can give us a call and wish your loved one a happy Valentine's Day, and we'll say it over the air.
With your pledge.
With your pledge. You know, what other station is going to do that where you can call and they will say your same-sex loved one partner over the air?
This is true.
I can't think of another station that would do that. So take advantage of it. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. We do have, in addition to the lovely bouquet of flowers that Alex was just telling you about, we do have some other things that you can get. What are some of those, Patty?
Well, my favorite, of course, is the apron.
The apron.
I love the apron.
The KNON apron.
As listeners know, I always push the apron. So it's a great pledge premium. So, you know, call in with your pledge and get a KNON apron. And the folding chair.
The folding chair.
Yes, you can get one with a $100 pledge and two with a pledge of $150. And they pack up, they fold up really nicely. They got a little sling carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Can take them to concerts.
That's right.
You know, to the park.
And spring is coming up. The snow's not going to last forever.
You know, take your dog to the dog park. You know, all kinds of stuff with it.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. And how cool will you look out at that dog park with a folding chair that says KNON on it?
And matching ones.
Matching ones.
Wow, this is a one-stop shop. I can get all of David's Valentine's gifts here today.
You can.
Yes, you can. And you know what? I don't know if that mic is working.
Is it working?
No, it is not. So I think you all are going to have to share. And one more item. One of my favorites is the KNON black backpack. Backpacks are so stylish these days. And again, how cool will you look if you were walking around with a KNON black backpack? David has one.
Excellent.
And he carries it all the time. And you can get that for a pledge of $50. So please give us a call. Let us know you're listening. Again, you can call and send out a loved one, a love message to your loved one for Valentine's Day. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Alex the Intern is standing by waiting for your call. Let's see here. Last month, during his first State of the Union address, President Obama moved to fulfill one of his campaign promises of getting the military 17-year-old Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy repealed. Ever since, the fierce debate about whether gays should be allowed to serve openly in the military has been resurrected. One of the most prominent groups that has fought to end the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a nonpartisan, nonprofit legal service watchdog and policy organization. Here to help us discuss all the latest happenings about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Service Members Legal Defense Network is retired Air Force Chief Master Sergeant, who also happens to be openly gay. He is Dave Gaynor. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming. Let's just jump right into it about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was implemented in 1993, signed by then President Bill Clinton. How do you think it's been working so far?
It was a failed policy when it before the ink dried. It was a compromise on commitments that President Clinton had made to the community, and he was defeated by a rather powerful Southern-driven Congress, particularly in the Senate. So it was a compromise. It failed, and it's discharged over 14,000 people and ruined their lives and has cost the government a lot of money.
And when you say it cost the government a lot of money, we're talking about every time a member is discharged, then they have to hire somebody else to not retrain them and get them back up to where that person who was discharged was. That costs money.
That does cost money. The conservative estimate, and this is from 3 or 4 years ago, was $260 million. I personally think it's more in the billions of dollars.
That's a lot of money.
Well, great. What,
now 14,000. Let's just take that as a number. How many boots on the ground, so to speak, does that mean? How many like divisions or battalions? I don't know all the military groupings, but how many we could have, like, how many folks in Iraq today just with that number?
Well, you could have 14,000 plus the ones that we've denied entry to. If you remember, the surge in Iraq was 90,000. So just the 14,000 represents a goodly portion of the 90 that we scrambled to get together to do the search. In terms of battalions, my Army buddies would chastise me because I don't know the count for battalions, but it's a significant number.
What was it like for gays and lesbians in the military before Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I've heard different things. I've heard that there was no official ban, but they didn't really want you to be in there. It depended on who your captain was. Sometimes they overlooked it, sometimes they didn't. What was it like, the official stance, before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was implemented?
Well, the official stance was there was a question on your enlistment form, are you homosexual?
So did it, or it did ask. They
did ask.
Okay.
And also, if you lied, that could have been conceived or was conceived as a violation of contract or lying on a government form, usually resulting in a dishonorable discharge. After Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that question goes away. And while the law still says that we're incompatible with military service, we can go in because we don't have to lie to get in, but we have to lie once we are there, because if anyone, self-admission, you call my commander anonymously, you send an email, they intercept an email between David and I, any of those conditions can lead to my discharge. And under most circumstances, it's an honorable discharge or other than, not less than honorable. But as I was telling you earlier, at the bottom of that certificate of service, it's called a that you carry with you to prove you're in the military and you produce to a future employers. At the bottom of that DD-214, in big, bold capital letters, says homosexual as a reason for discharge.
So
you carry that tattoo with you the rest of your life.
So your discharge papers has
correct
homosexual.
Even though you're correct. Honorably discharged?
Correct.
Wow.
Really? And for those who still don't know, when you go for, I guess, an interview and you want to show that you're in the military, that opens a whole new can of worms of being possibly discriminated against, because job status is not something that gays and lesbians are protected under, correct, at least on a federal level, and correct, not here locally on a state level.
Correct.
So, wow, I didn't know that. But,
Well, I think what's interesting was there was a new study, or new poll that came out this week, talking about, it was done by I believe the New York Times CBS News poll, that shows tremendous support for repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But what was significant to me is they really did two different polls. They asked people if people would support allowing openly gay men and women, or gay men and lesbians, to serve openly in the military, and that yielded about 70% support to allow gay men and lesbians. When they asked the question allowing homosexuals to serve in the military, it drops to 59%. Yeah. And it's just bizarre to me, but I hate that word anyway.
I understand it. It sounds like such an old term, and it just has so many sexual connotations to it. You know, of course there's an equivalent, there's heterosexual, but homosexual just leads to what they already think about, and it is all we want to do is have sex. So I
which
totally
of course
understand.
Is the equivalent, you know, of heterosexual, because heterosexual means always wanting to have sex.
Always wanting to have sex.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I get that. I get that. But Don't Ask, Don't Tell was initially supposed to, I guess, help gays and lesbians serve. If the official policy was before that you couldn't serve at all, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was at least able to let them serve, just serve silently.
Well, like, yes, and
it hasn't worked out that way.
No, it's not worked out because it's serving in silence and living a lie. And as a chief, one of the cornerstones of my entire career was honesty, integrity, and integrity. That's what our nation's military is built on. And when I lie to you as a battle buddy or as a combat specialist particularly, and we're getting shot at and I'm lying, how can you possibly trust me?
Point.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, Lieutenant Dan Choi, who is in the news a lot these days, he's kind of in that process.
He's kind of become the poster boy.
Right. He's one of those that is in the process now. There are several that have been in the news, and particularly on the Rachel Maddow show. She's featured them quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their cases have not been fully resolved at this point, but they're certainly out and vocal about it. And he had been accepted to West Point, which is no small feat.
Graduated
from West Point and then taught there. He's been in Iraq. He's a Arabic translator, all of that. Just tremendously talented guy. And his big thing is the honesty in terms of personal integrity, because it violates his West Point oath.
Yeah.
And I just can't even imagine what that's like. And Dave, how many oaths do you end up taking that you probably end up violating because you're a gay man or a lesbian entering the military and trying to abide by this ridiculous policy that requires you to lie? Don't you have to take an oath that you're going to, be honest?
Brave, square, brave, clean, and reverent, just like the Boy Scouts. Absolutely. And you take that oath every time you reenlist. You take oaths when you fill out security paperwork. You take oaths when you get access to classified information at a new duty assignment. You're absolutely right. You violate that daily. More importantly is you violate it with your counterparts, and that's just absolutely wrong, as Admiral Mullen pointed out.
Let's talk about some of the reasons why the other side think that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should not be repealed. Now, of course, the short answer and the real answer is it's just unadulterated bigotry. But let's go ahead let's play their game and go down some of the reasons why they think it should not be repealed. And here's the number one reason that I hear over and over and over and over. It's the showers. What is it with the showers? The showers, the showers, the showers, the showers. You know, and I heard on another show the other day, they were talking about the topic was Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the repealing of it. And one of the callers called in and he approached it from a way that I had not thought about. Still not a good excuse, but I had not thought about it this way. He said that, because the host of the show is a woman, he said, now imagine if we were both in the military and we had to take showers together. And you as a female, you don't want to take showers with me, I gather. And she said, honestly, well, of course not. He said, it's the same thing. I thought, I hadn't really thought of it that way. But I still think even if men and women, for whatever circumstances, had to take showers together in the military now, I would think they would be professional enough and trained enough to not go there. Take a shower and get out. You're there to take a shower to get clean, not to go and have sex. And of course, that's what they imply with us with the showers, that gay men are going to see other men in a shower and we want to just go jump on them, like we're just sexual heathens and we're just going to attack any man we see. Talk about the showers. What's the issue with the showers? As somebody who's been in the military.
Well, everyone knows that the showers in the military are the virtual bathhouses of San Francisco for heterosexuals. To me, that's a boogeyman. It's something that doesn't happen. First off, we're not talking the gang showers of the Gomer Pyle days on TV. For the most part, we have individual showers, or at least individual shower stalls, even in Iraq. Thanks to our contractors who build the showers that may or may not be safe, but that's a different topic. We have individual rooms in the military today. We have individual showers or shower stalls. It's not like the big open gang shower that you would see in a World War II movie. We've advanced just a little bit. And you make a good point. If you're a combat individual and you've been in the field for several days, the last thing you really want to do in the shower, other than take a shower, is to have sex. You're really not thinking about that. You're probably pretty dirty and want to take a shower and relax and get out of the field. So it's a boogeyman that people raise. It's tough to say, no, David, there's not a boogeyman under your bed, until you look and realize that there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
The shower is nothing.
We get this question a lot when we do first responder diversity training for fire and rescue and police here in Dallas. And, you know, we stress to them, this is about professionalism. And, you know, you do your job. And if you can focus on doing your job and be that professional and that best police officer or that best fire and rescue officer that you can be, then you're not thinking about that. And if what slays me on this is that I think it's the straight men who are the most disturbed by it. They're more uncomfortable thinking that somebody else may be in the shower at the same time or in their presence than I think probably gay men do. You know,
yeah.
Because it's they feel so threatened by that for some reason and can't focus on being professional, that they're too. That's what I think is another straw man for this whole argument, is that it's going to, you know, the unit cohesion and morale and all of this stuff. Well, where is that coming from? That's coming from the people who can't handle gay people being in the military.
Right.
They just can't handle it. They're so fragile and so unstructured in their own minds about themselves that they can't handle the thought of it, because they're basing it all on stereotypes. So anyway, it's an issue, I think, that is just dreamed up.
I would think so.
Trust me, there are a lot of people in the military that I would not want to shower with, but
for various reasons. But you do it, and you get in, and you get out.
It's
part of your job, you know. But Patty, you brought up another so-called reason. It will destroy unit cohesion. Can you talk? I don't even know what that means. Can you talk a little bit about that, Dave?
Unit cohesion is another term that's difficult to define. But before the show, I noticed there was some cohesion between you and your junior Alex here, the future Walter Cronkite of Dallas. There's some cohesion there. You were talking together. You were planning the show together. You're working together. He's over there twisting knobs or doing something while you're talking. You two are obviously bonded together. Let me give you a real brief example. If you came up missing your wallet after today's show, and there were the five of us that were here, you would obviously suspect maybe one of us took your wallet. And if we all said no, we didn't, we all lied to you, and you're going to leave here and come back next week and look at Alex and say, I wonder if he was the one. I'm going to watch Alex a little closer because he may have gotten my wallet. Just that innuendo or that thought in your mind over that happenstance will cause your unit cohesion between you and Alex to break down. And there's an element of dishonesty, and I'm going to go back to that over and over and over. If I don't believe that my battle buddy, my Alex, is trustworthy, and if I find out he lied to me about anything, I'm not going to trust him. I can't trust him, and the lack of integrity is what breaks down unit cohesion.
And I think that's very
true. Perfect example.
Because if for example, we're all working together and talking and we're on the same side all the way down the line, then we look under the equipment and say, whoa, here it is. It fell off the table.
Right.
And we find the wallet. You know? I just think it's a great example.
And by admitting you're gay, it's going to break down that unit cohesion. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, we need to take a quick break, but I do want to remind our listeners, it is Pledge Drive. Please give us a call at 972-647-1893. Alex, the intern, is standing by, and I know you just want to talk to him so you can hear his lovely voice.
Are you having a hard time selling that old car or truck? Maybe you don't want the hassle of selling it, or you've just hung on to it for too long. That's what the KNON Vehicle Donation Program is for. Call 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org. The tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. Your donation goes to support the great programming here on KNON. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO. 1077-KNON-AUTO or online at knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. Again, I am Laurent Landis here with Patty Fink and Alex the Intern. We do want to remind everyone that it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Alex, tell them again about those pretty flowers.
Yes, we have some special Valentine's Day premiums for you. If you come down to the studio at 5353 Maple in Dallas, we have, it looks like we have about four bouquets left, and with the $25 pledge, you can take one of those home, and we'll mail you a shirt. Well, I don't know when, but we will mail you a shirt. That's what it says. So just come on down and bring us some money, and we'll give you flowers. You can give them to your special someone.
That's right. It is Valentine's Day, so I guess I hope everyone is having a wonderful Valentine's Day. Our guest, Dave Gaynor, is here with his husband, David. I love y'all's names.
Thank you.
David and Dave.
That's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother
How
show.
How does that work?
So he's got his Valentine's here. So call and tell us who your Valentine is, and we will get that over the air with a pledge. We have many other pledge items besides the flowers, though they are lovely. We always have the black T-shirts. I love the T-shirts. You can get it from small all the way up to quadruple extra large, and that goes for a pledge of $40. Of course, Patty's always got her
apron.
Apron. Can't go wrong with the apron. And here's another one that I like. It's the coffee. KNON grows its own coffee.
As David often says, hills of KNON.
And this goes for a pledge of $30, and you can get two packs for $50. So again, give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, our guest is Dave Gaynor, retired service member, and we're just talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and some of the reasons that others have for not wanting to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we talked about showers and the unit cohesion. Here's something else, and that is living in close quarters, which I guess goes back kind of to the showers thing. I guess if we're rubbing elbows with a gay guy who's rubbing elbows with a straight guy in the military, that's just going to cause him to freak out. Is that what that means, you know, about the living in close quarters thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, it goes back to that boogeyman that I talked about before. And it's a slam against the military when people say things like close quarters and showers. You guys are, as you expressed it before, just a bunch of sexual animals. It's really, really insulting for a military member to hear those words, especially a military leader. I'll just stop because I'll get angry.
Well, here's another reason that I've heard recently. Repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell will hurt recruitment and retention. So in other words, straight guys are not going to want to join the military because gays are running rampant. And retention, I guess the straight guys that are there are going to drop out of the Army. That sounds like a bunch of hogwash.
Well, let me take you back to last century. But first, I'm not plugging this book, but I won't even say the name of the book. I'll just sneak it in. There's a book that I keep in my office on my desk that's called Color Lines and Foxholes, or Foxholes and Color Lines, that covers the integration of the military from the 1930s through around the Vietnam era.
Mm-hmm.
And the sentences that you're reading from these arguments are the same sentences I'll find in that book about people of color and women. So they're not new arguments. They're the same old saws. In the mid-1970s, when I was on active duty, we had race riots on our military installations. I don't know if you recall that or if they even teach it in history. But we had actual race riots. The Air Force, I can't speak for the other services, but the Air Force in particular called all of its people into what we would call diversity training to then, diversity training now. Then it was called race relations.
Oh, my.
And they taught us a course, one course each year for 3 years, the entire force, that started out with race relations, and I believe the last course was building bridges or something a little more today. And we addressed that problem. And yeah, we heard in those classes and we read in that book from the 1930s and forward that people were going to leave and people weren't going to come in. You know what? That just didn't happen. It didn't happen with us fully integrating the military. It didn't happen in Britain. It didn't happen in Israel. And it didn't happen in all of our other NATO allies that don't exclude gays and lesbians. Of course, Turkey hasn't had the opportunity because they like us, don't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Out of all of the NATO countries, it is only Turkey and the U.S. that still have not overturned their bans on gays serving in the military. And some of these countries have never had a ban on them. So, but that's what kind of company we keep, just to let you know.
I want to go to something that was mentioned in the hearings, which I thought were fascinating, and it was I just teared up listening to the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staffs, Mullen, and of course Secretary of Defense Gates, talking about their support for its repeal, and you know fielding questions from various senators and really awful comments from a few, including McCain.
Senator and we'll
McCain.
Get to him shortly after this.
But Claire McCaskill. I thought was so interesting, Senator McCaskill from Missouri. She asked the pointed question that actually, brought applause in the room from the gallery, asking them, well, you know, it's so important, as so many of the other senators were pointing out, to how the other people in the military feel about the non, you know, GLBT people, get their input. And she said, how exactly are you going to get the input of active service members who are gay or lesbian, and how exactly is that going to work? And they conceded that it was a good point, and that they're going to have to figure out how that works, because how can they possibly come out and say, well, I am one of the people directly affected by this policy,
right?
And here's my opinion. So what are your thoughts on that, Dave? I mean, how do you think they're going to do this? Immunity for everybody?
Well, immunity won't work, because as soon as the immunity ends, everyone's out. And,
then they're kicked out.
And quite frankly, I don't think we can afford pro bono legal services for all of the 65,000 that would have to be polled. So that I don't think it's I don't think polling is needed. I think the instruction to implement is what's needed. In the 70s, and we're talking, remember, Truman integrated the military in 1946. Mm. And you're sitting here talking to a crusty old chief that was still implementing it in 1978. The order to implement needs to come, and that's what happened to us in the 70s. You will stop this. You will implement this. You'll be trained on it, and we expect our leaders to take care of it, which we did, I think, to a great degree of success. It was because we had people in those days like General Daniel Chappie James Jr., who I had the great pleasure and honor to serve under, who were able to stand up and say this will happen. And today we have Admiral Mullen, who has stood up. If you look at his history, he said he served since 1968 with gays and lesbians. You're talking to a chief that served since 1966 with the same. So it takes the top leadership to say it will happen, and the leaders that I left behind to say yes, it will, and get you on the road. Polling's not something we need to do.
And for those who don't know, he mentioned Mr. Mullen, Mike Mullen. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's the highest rank you can get in the military?
That's pretty well up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's up there. And I just want to read the quote that he said from the Senate hearings, which happened shortly after Obama's State of the Union address. He said, no matter how I look at this issue, I cannot help but be troubled by the fact that we have in place a policy which forces young men and women to lie about who they are in order to defend their fellow citizens. For me personally, it comes down to integrity, theirs as individuals and ours as an institution. I thought he spoke brilliantly about it. And again, this comes from the highest top dog in the military. And let's talk about McCain. You know, McCain said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, I guess back in 2006, that if the top dog or the top dogs came to a decision where they thought that Don't Ask, Don't Tell needed to be repealed, he would go on board with that, Well, now it has happened, and he did not do that. What's going on with him? Or what do you think about that?
You take it. I don't want it.
Well, I just think it's I listening to the hearing, McCain basically said, so basically you're saying that the president has told you to make this happen, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and mm-hmm. I'm back here on if.
Right.
And he sort of, you know, left it there, which I just think is cowardly, you know, to say, well, we just need to explore this decision, you know, before it's a decision, right, that we're going to do it.
He went even further than that. You know, when Admiral Mullen and Secretary Gates went through the drill of confirmation, particularly Gates, they are specifically asked by the Senate, will you always bring us your evaluation and not the evaluation that's forced upon you by others? So there's some independence that's required of these guys. Senator McCain then turned around and challenged Mullen for expressing a free-thinking opinion on this matter. So again, it's a reflection of you will trust me to sit at night with my finger on a nuclear button while you sleep peacefully and I protect your nation, but I'm going to chastise you when you're open and honest. That was the dichotomy that I saw with McCain.
Yeah. And with the policy.
Yes, and with the policy.
And even, you know, another incredibly respected man as General Colin Powell, he's come around. Because at first he was not for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But he says he understands that times have changed. Times have changed in the military. It's time to repeal it.
Before we close out McCain and go to the breaking news, I think perhaps he should consult with his wife and daughter.
I concur. Totally.
Excellent plan.
Yeah, I wonder what's dinner like there at their house. You got your wife and daughter saying, yay, gay marriage, and probably anything else that's pro-gay, and taking pictures for the Prop 8 campaign, and you got daddy over here saying no. So I wonder if they should not even talk about it.
Dinner
is
probably cold.
Probably.
Well, the breaking news we were talking about before the show was this morning, Dick Cheney, former Vice President Dick Cheney, was on one of the morning shows, on Sunday morning shows, and fully supports the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Get out of here.
So that's a really big deal, I think, to have someone from that administration who, you know, got us into two wars.
Right.
You know, obviously has you know, cost – that those actions have cost American lives, the military – putting our soldiers, men and women, at risk. He had a hand in that, and he supports the repeal of this policy. So, you know, folks way over there on the right who are against this, I think, are just small people.
Wow.
Well, that's very true. We're talking about individual opinions. Also, this, I guess, Friday, the Reserve Officers Reserve Officers Association voted in its national convention to not carry on with their policy of gays and lesbians are not compatible with military service. In fact, this organization was founded in 1922 and chartered in 1950 and is the largest, despite what VFW and American Legion might think, they are the largest organization of retirees. Threw that out the window, and that's an indication that organizationally speaking, opposition such as their prior opposition is crumbling. It's going away. You know, the more people know us and the more we live in communities, the more, and as you pointed out, the more we're called gays and lesbians or neighbors instead of homosexuals, mm-hmm. The more we're recognized in the community, the weaker globally the opposition becomes. David, my partner, my husband David, my Valentine, who's going to get a black apron before we leave.
And that reminds me, I'm glad you're going to get one, and you need to get one too. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. It is Pledge Drive. You can get a black apron and various other items that we have.
David reminded me some time ago that the more marginalized the radicalists become, the easier they are to see, because there's no longer a crowd around them, and the louder their voice will become, because people such as perhaps news that likes to get a balanced story will seek out an opposition. So when we talk about 78% of the United States says that gays and lesbians should be able to serve, let's go find the other small percentage and find a voice, and it's going to be a very, very marginalized, angry voice.
And hopefully it will become, just as we were discussing integration of the military racially, you know, if today there was a story about an issue, say, in the African-American community, and they went and found someone from the KKK to make a comment, it would just be outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, in order to achieve, quote, balance in their reporting. And so every time they run to Focus on the Family or Family Research Council or EEL Forum or any of those uber right-wing groups that oppose, basically, you know, raise money on abortion and gays. And homosexuals.
Let me go back. I don't want to I didn't mean to insult my fellow veterans that are part of the VFW and American Legion. All of them served tremendously, served our nation, and both of those organizations do a lot to support the veterans of our nation. And even they're changing. The VFW supports the exclusion of us from the armed forces, but the Legion continues to favor the retention of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but takes no position on whether or not we're compatible with military service. So those organizations, those wonderful organizations, are also changing.
We're coming up on another break in just a moment, but I want to go ahead and get started. Can you tell us a little bit about Service Members Legal Defense Network? What is that, and how did you get involved?
What do I have to do to earn my plug? Service Members Legal Defense Network is a watchdog agency. We're a Washington, D.C.-based agency. Our primary job is to provide pro bono legal services to individuals who are being processed for discharge under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Secondary to that, we work with Congress to get the law repealed. And third, we work in the courts to do the same thing.
See, that even surprises me that not so much that there was a network out there to help those who've been discharged from under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, but that there was any type of legal recourse. I mean, have there been any success stories?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, this is what we don't hear in the news, you know.
You have to remember that Don't Ask, Don't Tell discharges are primarily administrative discharges. It's not something that falls under the Uniform Code of Military Justice where I've committed a crime or can be punished under the UCMJ.
So no Leavenworth?
No Leavenworth. I mean, just think of the showers. Yes, there are success stories, and many, many of them. In fact, I can't talk about those because of client-attorney privilege.
Well, sure.
One of the big things that impressed me when I first joined the organization is I found that they produced a survivor's guide to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's a probably half-inch thick pamphlet, booklet. And then they mailed that out to all of the defense counsels in the Department of Defense so that they would have it. So we spend a lot of time working with the area defense counsels and making sure that the military stays on track with the discharge if they're going to do it. And, of course, work to try to avoid the discharge.
Okay, and we're going to be right back on Lambda Weekly. Again, please give us a call. We need these phone lines to light up at 972-647-1893. Of course, we have pledges that range from, you know, $30 to $50, $70, but whatever you have, we'll appreciate anything. Just give us a call at 972-647-1893. Alex, the intern, is standing by.
Been bringing you programming that you can't hear anywhere else on the radio dial. If you want to keep great community radio on the air in North Texas, now's the time to show your support at 972-647-1893 to make a pledge. 972-647-1893 to make that pledge. Make it now.
We're back on Lambda Weekly. I'm Ron Landis here with Patty Fink and Alex, the intern. And again, it is Pledge Drive. Call us at 972-647-1893. It's also Valentine's Day, so give us a call and tell us who you want to give a shout-out to for Valentine's over the air. We'd love to do that. Again, we do have many different items that you could get. We talked about the T-shirts. You can get a ladies' long-sleeve scoop-neck T-shirt in navy blue. Those range in sizes from medium to an extra large. What else we do? We have the coffee, the KNON coffee that's grown right behind the studios, so you know it tastes great. Also, we have KNON, the folding chairs that Patty talked about earlier. And we have a new item. Is this morning for this time, Alex?
The flowers?
Yeah.
As far as I know, I don't have any idea. This was here when I got there. They are roses, so says one of our colleagues who wanted to be unmentioned. And you can get them if you come down here to the studio at 5353 Maple. They go for a $25 pledge, and you also get a T-shirt, and we'll mail that to you. And they're lovely. So
they're
you
lovely.
Can, yeah, so you can give them to your Valentine or whoever you want, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you've waited to the last minute, you still haven't gotten that person anything, here's a great option. Run up here and get them some flowers.
And you know what? Everybody needs a little love, so you can even give it to yourself if that's what you want.
Isn't that the truth? I love that. Again, 972-647-1893. Our guest again today is Dave Gaynor. He is, as I mentioned earlier, a retired Air Force Chief Master Sergeant. So, Dave, you come to this issue with from a perspective that none of us in this room can come at, and that is, not only did you serve, but you served as a closeted gay man. What must that be like? I mean, I can only imagine that the stress level of being not only being found out, but then when you're found out, the threat of being discharged. Can we talk about that?
I can't tell you under don't tell what that might be like.
That's right, because you were talking that.
I lived before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I retired in 1990, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell came into existence in 93. But from talking to the folks who serve today and from talking to the folks who have been discharged, it's a horrendous burden. Put yourself in my position today. If I were still on active duty and I'm married to David, and I deploy to Iraq, and I can't talk to David. Perhaps we can send emails, but they have to be very cloaked emails, because if I said something like Happy Valentine's Day, I love you, that would be an admission of the fact that I'm gay,
right,
and I could be discharged. We can carry that even further. If something would happen to David, I wouldn't be told. If something even worse happened to me, he won't be told. The relationship just is not recognized. So that's a very solid example of what's going on out there. There are many, many couples whose spouses stay behind, the rosy riveters, if you will, of today. And the big thing is we can't recognize them.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest things that I've started to really register in the opposition. When certainly when these hearings happen, and there's been a lot of discussion around the internets, as Debbie used to say, one of the things that keeps coming forward are these people that say, I'm in the military now, and we just don't want gay pride parades on our base.
And yeah, where does that come from?
And what I don't get is I think people are confusing an orientation as if they don't have one.
Exactly. We do.
Only we have a sexual orientation,
yeah.
You know, because it's like temperature. Everybody has a temperature.
Well, not even an orientation. We have a preference.
Oh, that's the way they see it. But
yeah.
as if, you know, orientation equals conduct. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing this argument that somehow they are the same thing. That if gay men and lesbians or homosexuals were to serve openly in the military, that there's insta-conduct.
Oh, yeah.
that there's going to be all of this stuff happening that heterosexual men and women in the military today do flaunt.
Absolutely.
Their sexual orientation ad nauseum without crossing the line to contact.
Exactly.
Conduct. you know, saying, you know, whatever their latest conquests are, or
especially with straight men,
you know, pointing out who among the sexual objects in the horizon they might be attracted to or they think is hot or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of this kind of, you know, flaunting and has nothing to do with conduct, but you've certainly revealed your sexual orientation.
Absolutely. And you're so right about the conduct, what they're so afraid that we're going to do, and that is either go sexually grope them or, you know, harass them. And that already goes on. There is sexual harassment that goes on in the military, heterosexual sexual harassment. And, of course, I assume that when that is reported that, you know, those who are responsible for it are treated or disciplined appropriately. Why can't the same thing just apply to us? If, in fact, one of us does it, why can't we just be treated appropriately instead of assuming that we're going to do it and we're being punished before it even happens?
Well, you heard Admiral Mullen in his testimony answer that same question, and his response was, no, it is not an issue. If it is, they're discharged. If you and I were in the military and I came on to you in some fashion, that's sexual assault. It could be considered sexual assault. And the disruption that I would cause in doing that would be punished under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Trust me, if they have an opportunity to nail you under the ECMJ, they're going to go that path.
But if you were to, you know, come on to me in some way, and we're both in the military, you would be prosecuted.
I'm glad you asked that. And I've been sitting here trying to think how I can clean up Al's analogy, but we're Admiral Steinman, he's a good friend of ours, and also part of SLDN Advisory Council.
He was the U.S. Coast Guard.
Yes, Admiral.
Surgeon General.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Al teaches diversity classes, or a form of those, in different colleges and universities in the Great Northwest. And he told me that he has an example that he uses. And that's two soldiers each holding a sign. And one sign says, I had a specific form of sex with my wife last night. And the other soldier is holding a sign that says, I am gay. The soldier holding the sign, I am gay, will be discharged. And the other soldier will probably get a round of applause. That's the difference.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
So what it screams to me is double standard. It's like
of course.
The heterosexual, openly heterosexual men and women serving in the military today can basically say or do really anything as long as it doesn't cross the lines of, like, you know, having an affair with your superior or your superior's wife or husband, you know, which I'm sure does get prosecuted at some point, you know, or actual sexual assault, because there are a lot of women in today's military who are being, you know, raped and sexually assaulted.
Oh, absolutely.
And are having a difficult time getting, you know, full justice.
Right.
But it's just such a double standard, because we have this insta-conduct simply by being gay.
Right.
And that really, really bothers me. And I think there are a lot of people in the Senate, a lot of people in the House of Representatives, and a lot of people in the Department of Defense who believe that, too, that because you're gay, you are walking, talking conduct.
Absolutely.
Just for existing.
Exactly.
I would gently disagree with you on the DOD.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I think they're, first off, more mature than that, particularly within the military green suit, or in my case, blue suit area. But let me go to the DOD civilians. You know, I was a GS-12 Deputy Director of Information Management at Fort Sam Houston as a retired chief, as a DOD civilian, and very openly gay. In fact, they helped celebrate our wedding when David and I went to San Francisco to be married.
Awesome.
Really?
And I was totally out. And I could get a security clearance because I was totally out. And under the DOD civilian regulations, again, the difference, if I were closeted, that could threaten the award of a security clearance to me, because that would be a form of a potential for blackmail. But if I'm open and I'm on a radio show and I'm in the newspaper and my cohorts at work celebrate my wedding to my husband, then I got that security clearance. go down the hall in that same building a few feet and get a green suitor, and they can't live that same life. So, and contractors are the same way. DOD civilians, DOD contractors can be openly gay and take showers and go to the gym, but the green suitor can't. Tell me how that makes sense.
Wow. Well, you bring up something else. Just out of curiosity, you may not even know this, the answer to this. There just seem to be more discharges in one branch of the Army than others, you know, Air Force, Army, Navy. I mean, are they all about the same?
I didn't bring those exact numbers, but there is an imbalance at times. The greatest imbalance is the fact that proportionally women are discharged more under Don't Ask, Don't Tell than men. If you look at the percentages of discharges between sexes.
Interesting.
That is interesting. And I'm kind of curious, too, and I know you can't discuss specific cases, but have there been cases that SLDN has become aware of where someone has been discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell who is not, in fact, gay or lesbian or homosexual?
Yeah, because that's a good question, Patty, because I've wondered if you're accused of it and you say, no, I'm not, is that enough to dodge being discharged?
No, it's not.
So if they think you are, they just got it in their heads. There's nothing you can do about it. You're being discharged because we think you're gay.
Kind of like employers in Texas and other states that have no protections. You know, if they think you're gay, real or perceived, you
right.
know, that they can fire you. Not in the city of Dallas, but
right.
You know, I'm just curious if that's been even. You know,
do you know of any cases like that?
I'm certainly, or I don't. I don't personally know of any cases,
okay.
I think where you're going to is the path of, I'll use Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a way out. Is that what you're saying?
No, not me. I'm just thinking that if anybody can, like, call in anonymously or send an anonymous letter or say, I saw this person at a gay bar, or I was, you know, I saw this, or I become aware of this and you should know, and that's enough to prosecute somebody.
Right.
Are there people who are getting kicked out of the military just on such hearsay that maybe even mm-hmm. a person who's not even gay or lesbian, there's absolutely no way
right.
this is there any truth to this. It's just vindictiveness on somebody's part trying to get somebody kicked out.
Well, I'm certain there are cases like that, and it's up to the commander to ferret out the facts of the case. In fact, there's something we call queen for a day that under military rules of conduct, if you can say this was a one-time occurrence, it's never going to happen. It never happened before. It isn't going to happen again. Under the queen for a day silent rule, those people probably would stay.
Okay.
Oh, so that means you could be literally a queen for a day.
Yeah, but yes. See, I was queen for 23 years. So.
I love that. Please give us a call. Today is Pledge Drive. Our number is 972-647-1893. You need to give us a call and show your love for KNON and Lambda Weekly. You can also show your love for your other half or just whoever by telling them over the air, Happy Valentine's Day.
And I'm giving my pledge today, as I always do every Pledge Drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say a shout out to my Valentine. Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. I love you, Aaron.
Oh, how sweet. That's so cute. I guess I should say Happy Valentine's Day to my husband, Danny, and my daughter, Gabrielle. Happy Valentine's Day, sweeties.
Happy Valentine's Day. We just have a few minutes left. I'm just wondering if Dave, you could share with us what happens now. We talked about this year that's supposed to happen between you know, while they're either exploring or trying to find a way to implement or, you know, polling mm-hmm. that we all hate. What is your perception in SLDN's forecast of what could be on the horizon now going forward with all that's taken place so far?
Well, you mentioned that everyone has a temperature, so everyone has an opinion.
You see, even dead people have a temperature. <That's>,
they do.
And then, no, I won't even go there. There are a lot of different things that need to be done. And, you know, I was encouraged when the hearings occurred because it meant that things were finally being discussed openly. I personally saw a standoff between Congress, the White House, and the DOD, and that standoff was broken by Admiral Mullen. What needs to happen now is Congress really needs to pass a law that repeals Don't Ask, Don't Tell. you know, people talk about a delay. We talked about a moratorium so active duty gays and lesbians could testify. That only prolongs the problem. This thing just simply needs to be resolved and get it on. I understand the DOD's need to develop an implementation plan. They've got to come up with diversity training that includes this. They've got to study some issues and come back to Congress and say, look, we're not going to give base housing because of DOMA. We can't recognize their marriages.
Right.
They've got to study those things.
Because a lot of, well, possibly some current gay or lesbian service members have domestic partnerships or some type of legal recognition
or marriage.
Correct. Just like you all. So that is another issue.
So I can understand the study of implementation and his 45 days to come up with I think he called it a more humane way to implement, don't ask, don't tell. But I understand the need for a short-term study and development of an implementation plan by DOD. But simply put, Congress has to act.
Is there a bill on the table?
H.R. 1283, the Military Readiness Enforcement Act, yes.
This is the bill introduced by Patrick Murphy?
Currently Patrick Murphy. It's been there for the last two sessions. We have 187 co-sponsors, quite a number of committed yes votes. It's not bulletproof. We're working in the Senate. We have support in the Senate. We need more support in the Senate. And we need to ask our Democrat representatives who are not signed on why they're not signed on as co-sponsors. And I can name some names in Texas, but I won't.
Real quick, because we're running out of time. God, this hour's flown by. But are you optimistic that it's going to be repealed this calendar year?
Well, I told the Dallas Voice if it wasn't repealed this calendar year, I'd implode. So hopefully Congress is not going to cause me to do that.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. And let's keep
our fingers
crossed.
But we are coming up to midterm elections, and that concerns me.
Yeah. Again, we're almost out of time. We want to thank Dave. Thank you so much for your service in the military and your efforts to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And thank you for coming on our show. We really appreciate
it. You're very much welcome, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
And come back. Come back.
And
it is, we still have a few minutes before the hour's up, so we still have time for you to make a pledge. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Alex, the intern, is dying to talk to you. We'll see you next week. Well, do you have one more thing?
Next week, we'll have Elizabeth Lopez-Lyon from the U.S. Census Bureau, and we'll be discussing filling out your census form as a GLBT person.
That's right.
So
that's
tune
right.
in.
Tune in. Have a good week, everybody. And again, happy Valentine's Day. We're going out with Mark Broussard.
My life was black and white until you came around. So, baby, come around. Keep on coming around. I did no wrong from right till you came around. So, baby, come around. Please keep coming around.
KNON 89.3 FM and HD1 Dallas, the voice of the people.